Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
And I just want to thank God for what he's doing in this church, amen. To see young people coming in, see anyone coming in and sensing the call of God upon their life is nothing for us just to be disdained about, but to be able to celebrate. To celebrate what God is doing. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as you turn there, if you're a little bit colder today, I know I feel a little bit cold, it might be the very warm water in the baptism pool that's awaiting people tonight. But please, please do come out tonight, because baptisms is something that we celebrate together as a church, as a family. So the theme is under construction. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5... There you go. That's what happens when I worship. I go crazy. It's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the theme under construction. We're going to read a few verses from the Apostle Paul, and it says this in verse 16 to 19. He says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." I even just love that phrase itself. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. "Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation." Let's pray. Father God, today we want to thank you. We want to thank you that you have brought us close to you, that you have drawn us close when we had nothing to offer, when we had nothing to give, you still gave to us. And today, as we stand before you, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our lives today. That, Lord, that you would grant us the grace and the faith to not only hear your voice, but to respond to your voice. So, Lord, we pray, have your way in our midst today. Speak to our lives. Move amongst us. And above all else, let your will be done in and through our lives, our church, and our generation. We thank you and we give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seats this morning. So the theme is under construction. And for the sake of a podcast or a YouTube upload, and if you're making notes, the title of today's message is "A World Under Construction." A World Under Construction. When you hear that phrase or that theme, under construction, I think we can all agree that each and every one of us, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how our upbringing was, no matter what we've faced and been through, successes or not, that each and every one of us have areas of our life that God is working on. Give me a wave if God is working on something in your life. You see, in each and every one of our lives, the Apostle Paul says that all of us fall short. All of us make mistakes. So one thing that binds us together is the fact that we know we're not perfect. We know that we fall short, and we know that there's always areas of our life that continue to be worked on. For some of us, it might be our heart, our mind, our tongue, our responses, our choices, our relationships, whatever it represents to you today, we know and are in agreement together that God is constructing our lives. If we don't recognize the things that God is working on, we will feel out of place in church. If we think we're above where we are, we will feel out of place in church, because the process that we go through is a process of transformation and change. There's even phrases that we have that represent that. People say, "No one's perfect. I'm working on it. I'm not the finished article. This is just who I am. Watch this space." We always use phrases to talk about the journey that we're on and the process we go through. And when we hear about being under construction, the likelihood is the first thing that our minds go to is an individual. If we're really humble, the first individual we think about is ourselves. If we're a little less humble, we usually think about our neighbour, our brother, our sister. But the reality is many times when we think about being under construction, we think about individuals. But I want to put to us today that the starting point for being under construction is not us as individuals, but it's to recognise that the world itself is under construction. Our communities are under construction. Our leaders are under construction. Our nation is under construction. The starting point for recognising that God is at work is not the starting point of ourselves. It's a starting point to know that God is reconstructing the very world he created. The very communities we live in, the very families he's given us, the very marriages we've entered into. God is reconstructing the very work of his own hands. The starting point is not simply our character, our hearts, and our minds, but the starting point is our communities, our world, and our generation. What if the most important thing is not the vision you have, but the vision that God has? Let me say that again. What if the most important starting point for being under construction is not what you want to see happen in your life, but what God wants to do in his creation? What God wants to do in the world that he created? And so many times we search high and low, east to west, north to south, to try and find out the purpose God has for us. And the starting point is not necessarily the desires of our own heart, but the desires of God's heart. The work that he is shaping and forming in our very midst. When you engage with the word of God, you so often don't come across the language of I or me, but you come across the language of us and we. The starting point for being under construction is to first and foremost discover God's vision for his very creation. God's vision for the families and the nations and the generations that he's placed around us. So the question is this: what is God's vision for creation? What is God's vision for the very work of his hands? There's a few things that we can know straight off the bat that God's vision isn't. God's ultimate vision is not just to get everybody to obey the rules. Some of us are just not going to do that all the time. Some of us are not always going to obey every rule that's set before us. God's ultimate desire is not to raise up a generation of people that just tick all the boxes, but just obey all the rules. When we make church, when we make God, and we make our relationship with God about ticking the boxes and just ticking off all the rules, then we begin to get weary and tired. And if anything, we get self-righteous. But that the vision and construction that God is building is about more than rules and regulations. It's about more than having a skirt above the knee. It's about more than having a suit on a Sunday. It's about more than those things. It's about a relationship with God. It's about being in unity with the one who created us. Don't get me wrong, in the word of God, there is order, there is structure, there is system, but there is more than that. These things were given because God wants to have a relationship with his people. God is reconstructing his world and the work of his hands. You see, God's vision is even more than just making you and I happy. I know for a lot of people, Christianity, serving God, is about being happy. But even with God, it's about more than just being happy. If we read the Bible and we search the scriptures and the best we come out with is that God wants to bless us, then we're missing what God's revealed to us. God wants to do something greater in our midst. It's about more than just obeying the rules. It's about more than just God making us happy. There's something deeper and greater that God is doing in our midst. And when you've been around church for a while, there's certain words that you pick up. There's certain themes that you hear. Grace, faith, love, repentance, all these types of words that we begin to hear when we're in church, we begin to hear in a relationship with God. But there is one word that Scripture shows us. There is one theme and one thread that God shows us that is the true vision he has for his creation. It's the theme that runs through from Genesis to Revelation. It's a theme that we see in every person he calls, every family he saves, every move that he does. There's this theme that is woven throughout Scripture that is more than just ticking boxes, is more than just attending church. The very thing that God desires to do in his creation is the work of reconciliation. It is to reconcile and restore his people to himself and to one another. God is a God of reconciliation. Let me read verse 18 again. It says this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That term reconciliation comes from a Greek word which says katalage, which literally means the re-establishment of something that was broken or interrupted. Reconciliation means the restoring and the re-establishing of something that was broken, something that was interrupted. How many people you can say that there are times in your life that brokenness has come in? That things have tried to interrupt your marriage or your family. Things have tried to interrupt your relationship with God. From the very beginning of time, there has been a brokenness and an interruption that came from sin. And from that very moment, God has been reconciling and restoring and bringing back to being people's relationship with him and with each other. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of reconciliation. God reestablishes those things that have become tainted and broken. We serve a God who is always making things as they were meant to be. You see, sometimes we can become so used to the brokenness around us, so used to the loneliness around us. All you have to do is switch on the TV to see what's happening in London to our generation, to see what's happening in Manchester, see what's happening around the world. We don't have to go far to come face to face with pain and despair. But the challenge for you and I is that we don't become too used to it. We don't become comfortable with brokenness. We don't accept the things that we see taken around us many times. And sometimes, as Christians, we can accept the things that God has never accepted. We can allow the things that God doesn't allow. The picture I thought about is my nephew went to play football in America. He got a football scholarship. And he went to a state in America, a place called Iowa, which is in where you'd probably call it like Tornado Valley, Hurricane Valley, where the tornadoes come. And he was out playing football with his friends and what have you, and then the siren came on. And the tornado began to form, and he had to go indoors. And they had to wait till the tornado had passed. But sometimes as Christians, we do the same thing. That when there's brokenness around us, when the storms that come, we go inside our homes, we batten down the hatches, and we wait for it to pass. But that's not the calling and the authority that God has given us. That when we come face to face with brokenness, we don't just batten down the hatches. When we come face to face with darkness, we don't just batten down the hatches, but we take the faith that God has given us, the authority that God has given us, the love that he's given us, and we begin to fight our battles with that love and grace and mercy. We can't become too defensive as Christians, where we just wait for things to pass and then hope for the best. God has given us authority. And many times in our life, we end up accepting conditions that God has not called us to accept. We end up accepting seasons and situations that God has given us the authority to change. But because we become so used to things being a certain way, we begin to embrace the things that God has not called us to embrace. Have you ever said this to yourself? It will always be this way. This will never change. How many people have ever said that to yourself? This will never change. This will always be this way. That's not what the Word of God says about your situation. That's not what the Word of God says about your relationship. God says that all things are possible to him who believes. That God is able to change circumstances and situations in our midst. But the starting point is to realize that God is at work restoring and reestablishing our relationship with him and with one another. We see this example in Luke chapter 4. When Jesus came to creation, he says this, and he talked about his mission. He talked about his purpose. He talked about what he was here to do. And he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I'm going to read that one more time, and I want us to picture and imagine the fact that that very same Spirit that was on Christ Jesus is on your life this morning. That very same Spirit that was at work in Christ is at work in you and I today. And when we think about that, that's something we should be able to get excited about. That the same Spirit who anointed Christ anoints your life and my life today. And that same Spirit can do this through your life and my life. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Victory Outreach Manchester, this is a year of the Lord's favor. But it begins by seeing, understanding, and embracing how faithful God has been to you and I. The Apostle John said this, "I love because Christ loved me. I love because Christ loved me." The starting point is to know and embrace the very faithfulness of God in your life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 18, the Apostle Paul prays this, and he says this, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." It is God's will and purpose for our life to understand how much he loves us, to understand how faithful he is to us, to understand how good he desires to be towards us. When the Apostle Paul uses that language, to grasp, it means to embrace and to receive. When we receive and embrace the very faithfulness of God in our life, then we begin to love in a way that we've never loved. We begin to serve in a way that we've never served. If you want to do something great for God, you need to first let God do something great for you. To embrace his love is the foundation of being able to love people. If you've ever grown tired of loving people around you, you don't need to lift your hand because you might get in trouble. But if you've ever grown tired of loving people around you, the key is God's love towards you. It's embracing how high, how wide, how deep his love is. That God's love knows no boundaries. God's love has seen no limits. God's love has not grown impatient, that he has continually and faithfully reached out to us and reconciled us to himself and to one another. We catch the first glimpse of God's love and mercy in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. We go back to the beginning and we get a glimpse of what God's creation was meant to be like, what it was like. And it says in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, it says this, "Then God said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You see, God at the very beginning created what the Bible describes as shalom, wholeness and peace in his creation. When we look at the world around us, when sometimes we look at certain relationships in our life, we may not see that shalom, but it's always God's will and God's purpose to restore a shalom, a wholeness and a purity and a perfection in our life. That shalom literally means to be without any brokenness. How many people would love a life like that? Come on, wave at me. You want a life without any brokenness. But this is the journey God has us on. It's to restore a shalom in our life, that our relationships are whole, that our worship is whole, that our speech is whole, that our relationship with God is uninterrupted and unbroken. That's the reconciliation that God seeks to bring in his creation. But I'm not going to go into the long story of what took place, but we know in Genesis 3 that sin entered into God's creation, that sin entered in to this shalom, this wholeness that God had created. And when sin entered in, sin didn't just sit in the corner and keep quiet. Sin began to take its course in God's creation. And two of the very things that God had created was a union with him and a union with each other. And sin began to interrupt people's relationship with God. Sin began to interrupt people's relationship with each other. And as the journey continued, as the Old Testament unfolded, we begin to see that people grew further from God and people grew in more conflict with each other. But ever since that time, God has been at work reconciling and restoring the relationships in his creation. And we see sin not only got in through Adam, because he can be made out to be the bad guy, but as sin entered in, we see Cain turned on his brother. We see a man by the name of Lamech who took two wives and began to injure other people. We see violence filled the earth. We even see it culminated not in individuals' choices, but we see it culminated in Israel being enslaved by Pharaoh. Sin didn't just affect individuals, it affected nations and communities. But yet in the midst of all of this, God has never stopped being at work. In the midst of every act that we despair about, there is an act of grace and calling that is taking place. We can switch on the TV and we can see violence that's taking place. But we also see today God raising up young men and young women that want to answer the call of God upon their life. There is a reconciling and a restoring that's taking place in the midst of what we see. And there is this encounter that stands central to the revelation of God. In Exodus 34, God reveals himself to Moses. And this is such an important scripture for two reasons. Before I read it, the first reason is because this is God's description about himself. If you ever want to know what God is like, God describes himself right here. And secondly, we get a picture of the God that you and I serve today. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Moses says to God, God, reveal yourself to me. And God's like, I don't think you want me to do that. And Moses is like, no, I want you to. And God's like, I don't think you do. And then eventually they come to an agreement. And God's like, okay, I will show you my back. But then he begins to speak to Moses. Moses had seen so much suffering. He'd seen so much struggle. He had wrestled with the call of God himself. And then he has this moment where God reveals himself to him. And he says this. This is what God says to Moses. He says, he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love
and faithfulness. Let me say that one more time. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. If you've ever doubted it, today I want to let you know we serve a compassionate God. We serve a gracious God. We serve a faithful God. But he uses this word, abounding in love. That word love is the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed. And it literally means a loyal, steadfast, and enduring love. That God is loyal to his promises. God is loyal to his word. And he is loyal to his people. When you think that God is going to give up on you, hesed says that his love will remain faithful. When you think that you're unlovable, God's hesed says that he will love you with an unconditional, unwavering, unending love. His hesed is what keeps us and what holds us and what moves us forward even when we don't feel that we can do it ourselves. It's in God's hesed that he called Noah. It's in his hesed, his loyalty, that he called Abraham and Moses. It's in his hesed he called David and the prophets. It's his hesed, his loyalty to you and I, that he sent his very son, Jesus. It's his hesed that holds you today and loves you, even when you doubt it. God's hesed is what keeps us and also moves us forward. It's in scripture that we encounter a God of love who never accepts things the way they are, but will fight and live and love until he sees the transformation and change that he's called us to. We never accept the things the way that they are. But the beautiful thing about God's love is this. He says, not only as he reconciled us to himself, but it says that he has committed to us the message and ministry of reconciliation. That means the very love that you have received, he's committed to you to show to other people. The very loyalty that he has shown you, he has called us to show to one another. The very loyalty that he has released and love that he has released to our lives is the very love and loyalty that he has committed to you to show the people around us. Ephesians 2 verse 14 to 16 says this, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." This is the key part. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, making peace. God's vision was to bring all people back to himself. And God's vision was to bring people together, to love, to serve, and to be together in him. That's why when the disciples asked Jesus, they were always trying to catch Jesus out. Not the disciples, the Pharisees. They said to him, "Well, if you're teaching this, what does this mean? And what does that mean?" And one time they said to him, "What is the greatest commandment of them all?" And Jesus responded with this, "Love God and love your neighbor." You see, he summed up the whole ministry of God in creation is to learn to love God again and to learn to love people in the way that he has loved us. See, many times we set a standard on our life that I will love people in the way that they've loved me. How many people ever said that? I will love people in the way that I've been loved. But actually, God says, don't love people in the way that you've been loved. Love people in the way that I've loved you. Love people in the way that I've treated you. If I've been loyal to you, don't give up on your neighbor. If I've been faithful to you, don't be unfaithful to your neighbor. Continue that very chesed, that very loyalty and steadfastness I've shown you, show it to your neighbor, show it to your brother and your sister. We love because he first loved us. He has committed and entrusted us with a message and a ministry of loyalty, a message and a ministry of love and faithfulness to his creation. The very way that he has loved us is the very way we are to love other people. One of the ways that this struck me, we were doing our Monday night Bible study in Ephesians, where we meet here and we go through the book of Ephesians. And one of the ways it struck me was we were talking about adoption, about being adopted into God's family. That's what that salvation is. It's to be brought into God's family. And as that took place, we began to realize and we began to speak about the very fact that I know my wife and myself, we've adopted two children. And the very fact is that people many times, when they've seen us and they've known us, they're shocked that we've adopted them because they talk like us. They sound like us. Somehow they've ended up looking like us. I'm not even sure how that worked out. They act like us. They've got the same phrases. They've got the same mannerisms. Some of them, not all of them. But yet I began to realize that you begin to reflect the image of the one who has adopted you. You begin to reflect the character of the one who has brought you close. And in that same way with God, he has, from the very beginning of our journey, been faithful to us. He has loved us. He has served us. He has been loyal to us. When everyone else around us wanted to give up, God said no. He never gave up. And as he adopted us and brought us into his family, there comes a point in time where we are to begin to reflect the image and the likeness of the one who has adopted us. And that's where God says he has given us the message and ministry of reconciliation. In other words, he has called us to love unconditionally. He has called us to serve faithfully. And he has called us to be loyal even when people are not loyal to us. Because the scriptures tell us Christ died for us, not when we were praising him. I don't know, Christ didn't die for you when you were worshiping him. Christ died when we were his enemies. When we didn't want to know him, Christ still said, my chesed, my faithfulness and my loyalty will cause me to love you no matter what. And that message and ministry that has been committed to you and I today is a message and ministry that our world needs to hear. The world is looking at the church today and it needs to see more than rules and regulations. It needs to see more than box ticking. It needs to see more than just a Sunday worship. It needs to see a chesed that's at our very midst, where we love and serve one another unconditionally. And I believe today that many of us, we've been challenged in our relationships. We've been challenged in what our calling and our purpose is. But I believe today God reminds us and God says to us that very way that I've loved you, that very way that I've revealed myself to you, that very way that I have remained loyal and steadfast to you, I want you to do the same to those around you. And if there are any areas in our life today that are broken, any areas that have been interrupted, I believe today that God wants to uninterrupt those areas. I believe God wants to restore relationships today. And the restoration is not necessarily in an instant. The restoration is when we begin to love as Christ has loved us. And I even believe today there are some of us that have been ready to give up on people around us. There are some of us that have been ready to stop praying for certain people, to stop loving certain people. There are some of us that our condition has been the same for so long that we have thrown our hands up and said, this is just the way it is. But chesed, God's loyal love, declares that it is not always going to be that way. It is not always going to remain that way, but there is a reconciliation that he wants to bring. But it begins with an embracing and a receiving of God's love. When we say that we can't love people anymore, what we're really saying is that God can't love us anymore. But there is more that God wants to give us. There is more that God wants to do in us. And out of the love that we embrace and receive, it's our ministry to spread that message to those around us. Our ministry is not primarily the worship or the gang. Our ministry is not primarily the education or our workplace. Our ministry is to see people come to know God and come to love one another in a way that God always intended. So wherever you find yourself, if you find yourself in college, in school, if you find yourself in the workplace, if you find yourself in the shop, if you find yourself on the street corner, wherever you find yourself, you are in ministry because God has called us to love Him and to love one another in a way that He always desired. You can stand with me today. I believe a couple of things as a worship team come up, and this is what we're going to pray for, this is what we're going to respond to. I believe there are many of us today that, just like the Apostle Paul's prayer, that we have lost sight of how great God's love has been towards us. Maybe even today you've not experienced that love of God in the way that the Bible speaks of. Today I believe it's God's desire, just as He revealed Himself to Moses, is that He says to you and I that He wants us to experience His compassion and His grace and His faithfulness. That there needs to be an embracing in our lives of the very chesed of God, the very loyal love of God. But not only the embracing of God's love, but I believe there are some of us in here today, but you've grown tired with certain relationships in your life. You've grown weary with certain situations or circumstances that have been brought your way. Maybe you felt like you can't love anymore. Maybe you felt like you don't want to continue to love in the way you've been loving, to serve in the way you've been serving. God is a God of restoration. But I believe today there's a fresh strength, a fresh grace to be able to love faithfully, to be able to serve faithfully. And even when we've been wronged, or we've been hurt, or we've been let down, it's God's love towards us that is the grace to continue to serve and to love those around us. I really believe today that there's some of us in here, maybe one, maybe two, maybe many, but what God's saying to you is that there are certain people that God has placed in your life that if you remove your love from them, if you remove your faithfulness from them, then there's nowhere else for them to find it. That God says that it's your love towards them, it's your faithfulness, your loyalty towards them, where God is going to speak to them. Lord, we pray today, where there has been tiredness, we pray strength. Lord, where there has been weariness, we pray, Father God, that there will be an embracing of the love and grace and faithfulness towards us.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.